This is J. Michael Edwards with you in the Majestic Academy. Today, you will wear out the edge of your seat because that is where you will be sitting throughout this extended lesson. There is a great deal of fake news regarding the Antichrist out there. Today, Pastor Don will teach from Scripture the truths regarding this enigmatic creature. So, put your seat backs up and your tray tables down and join Pastor Don in the Academy as he teaches a lesson called, Let's Meet the Antichrist.
Well, welcome back, my friends. Welcome back into the Majestic Academy. We are in episode 30. Episode 30, marching right along here. And this is a very special and very important lesson today. Now, it's a little bit longer than our lessons thus far. And I consider splitting it up into two parts, but really, once we get going here, can't even talk today. Once you get going, you're going to realize, as I did, that it really isn't a natural place to stop and start. And so, grab your water bottle, get comfortable, and we're gonna take this journey together. And so we start out in the book of Daniel today. We're going to read from the book of Daniel. We need to give context in this study on this person the Bible calls the Antichrist in a lesson called Let's Meet the Antichrist. And so in Daniel 8, 23 through 27 says, and in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, and he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. And the vision of the evening and the morning which was told is true. Wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted, and was sick certain days. Afterward I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. Father, help us to understand now these things that are coming up. I pray that you give us wisdom, help us to understand it. And Lord, again, that this lesson might make some folks that may not be saved, or may think they're saved, but really not, cause them to truly receive Christ as their personal Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as we continue to move through the book of the Revelation, we have encountered some very terrifying scenes and some amazing characters. For the next few weeks, our attention is going to be focused, or the next few weeks, the next few lessons. I actually taught this three, four times, and so some of the things I have in here, I taught week by week. Anyway, for the next few lessons, our attention are going to be focused on an individual known as the Antichrist. Some 40 plus billion people have lived on the earth since Adam was created in the Garden of Eden. Since that time, the world has witnessed the advent of many talented, intelligent, and powerful people. But there is one who is coming that will stand head and shoulders above the rest of humanity. He'll be powerful, he'll be deceitful, he'll be intelligent and brutal and ruthless, and he'll be efficient. He will represent the pinnacle of all that man can achieve apart from God. He will be a satanically empowered man, and he will wreak havoc in the world. Again, a satanically empowered man. So before we move further in our study of Revelation, I want to take this lesson kind of a pause here in the book of Revelation. And again, I just want to make sure we have context here, but I want to take this lesson and talk to you about the man known as the son of perdition, the man of sin, the beast. Revelation 13 says that wicked, the Antichrist. I want to take our time today and examine this awful, awesome man who will dominate our world someday. I think soon, and many agree with me, especially as you realize what's going on in the world today. The whole world all of a sudden got COVID within a week. That doesn't happen naturally. There's things going on. The events in Israel and Afghanistan and around the world. Israel became a nation in 1948. The Bible says that generation that sees Israel become a nation shall not pass away. Now, I'm not going to pick a date. I'm not. But I just have to believe with the debauchery of the world today. I mean, if God doesn't destroy this world soon, He'll have to go back and apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah, because I'll tell you what, things are bad. They're just bad. So anyway, let's ask the Lord to give us a mind to understand these portions of Scripture, and let's meet the Antichrist. Verse 23 talks about the advent, the coming of the Antichrist. In the end times, a fierce king will stand up. What are the signs of his appearing? Can men know when this man will appear? The answer to that is both yes and no. I'm not trying to confuse us, but no one can know exactly who the Antichrist is or exactly when he will appear. But the Bible does tell us that there are certain signs that accompany his appearance. So let's examine these signs. We see the condition of the world. When this man makes his entrance, the world will be in a terrible moral condition. This is evidenced by two passages that make references to the end times. In Luke 17, verses 26 and 27 says, "And is as it was in the day of Noah," that's Noah, "so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them." In 2 Timothy 3:1-5, it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, holy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of all those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." It's easy, I think, it's easy to see that our world is preparing for the appearance of the Antichrist. We see the corruption of religion. 2 Thessalonians 2:3 tells us that the Antichrist will appear during a time of religious apostasy, or a falling away. That's what apostasy means, a falling away. In 2 Thessalonians 2:3 says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." This refers to a time when organized, visible religion will depart from the doctrines of the Word of God. Since the New Testament was written for and about believers, it makes sense to conclude that this falling away will occur in churches and denominations that call themselves Christian. I hope everyone understands that just because a church or denomination calls itself Christian does not make it Christian. In reality, the days in which we live are marked by a rapid departure from the foundational truths of Christianity. There was a time when if a man said he was a Christian, you pretty much knew that he believed the truths of the Bible. There might have been a few doctrinal differences, but for the most part, this person believed in the virgin birth of Christ, the substitutionary death and resurrection of Christ, the return of Christ, and that the Bible is the Word of God. In other words, a Christian was a person who was in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and accepted all that the Bible teaches concerning him and his work. Wow, is it a different world now? I could spend hours and hours and hours telling you about the church today. Suffice it to say that the Christian church is not Christian any longer, for the most part. A person may deny the virgin birth and still claim to be a Christian. A person may call themselves a Christian and cast doubt on the accuracy of the Bible. A person may doubt that Jesus really died and rose from the dead and still claim that they are saved. Something is wrong, my friends, with this picture. We are living in the midst of a great falling away. The apostasy is upon us. Cults are growing by leaps and bounds, while genuine Christianity consistently finds itself under the gun from society, government, and organized religion. When denominations have to take a vote on whether to marry homosexuals or allow homosexuals to be ordained, something's wrong with that. There are things that are nailed down so firmly in the Word of God that there should never be a question about them. Yet, we are seeing every major doctrine under attack. We see churches and denominations turning away from the truth with alarming speed. Again, we are in the midst of apostasy. Read the book of Jude. Let me step out and tell you, read the book of Jude. Read the book of Jude and you will find, it's a very short book, one chapter, and you will get a picture of this great apostasy. If the world is ready and religion is ready, what hinders the Antichrist from appearing at any moment and what keeps the tribulation from starting? There is one event that must take place before the Antichrist can be revealed and before the tribulation period can commence. That in a minute. The completion of the church. The completion of the church. 2 Thessalonians 2:6 and 7. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. These verses here teach us the truth that the church must be removed before the Antichrist can be revealed. Verse 6 tells us that there is something that withholdest. Verse 7 says there is one who letteth. These two words are translated from the same Greek word and both mean to hinder. The Bible tells us in verse 7 that the spirit of Antichrist is already at work. And that's why we can see all the evidence all around us. And things are accelerating, by the way. Things are accelerating. They're getting worse and worse, faster and faster. Again, I won't take the time to go into all of that. I think you know what I'm talking about. But still, there are two forces that hinder him from stepping onto the stage and making his, the Antichrist's, presence known. So what are those two hindrances? Well, they are the church and the Holy Spirit. The work of the Spirit in convicting and judging the hearts of men is a tremendous restraining force in the world. John 16, 8 through 11 says, "And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." The Spirit's work in filling the church to stand against the tide of evil is also a great hindrance to the work of the spirit of Antichrist. One day, both of these forces will be removed. When, you say? At the rapture of the church. It is worthy to note at this point that the whole purpose of the tribulation is not for the church. Let me say that again. The tribulation period is not for the church. It's not for Gentiles. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble in Jeremiah 30, verse 7. It was told to Daniel that the tribulation was a time for Israel in Daniel 9, 26, 27. The tribulation period is also known as the time of God's wrath. The Bible clearly teaches that God's children have to be saved from wrath through Jesus. One of the greatest proofs that the church will not see the tribulation is Christ's promise to the church of Philadelphia in Revelation 3:10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. There are some who would tell us that the church will go through the first 3 years of the tribulation. To believe this view, you have to believe that many of the Lord's prophecies to Israel also apply to the church. The fact of the matter is, if you interpret the Bible literally, you have to believe that the church leaves this world before the tribulation period. And let me just note that this belief that these are called the mid-tribbers, that the church will leave at the middle of the tribulation, this is gaining a lot of notoriety with many Christians. I see it all the time. I hear it all the time. We're going to go through the first 3.5 years because God has to cleanse the church before it can be raptured. That's nonsense. Noah's Ark, when God closed that door, and God closed that door, Noah did not close that door. His sons did not close that door. Certainly his wife and the wives did not close that door. Who else could have done it? God did it. God shut the door, and God will shut the door at the rapture, at the beginning of the tribulation. God shuts that door, and those who are unsaved cannot get into the ark of safety, if you will. God did not let Noah and his family go through the flood without the ark. They didn't have to swim around for 3.5 years, if you will, before God let them in the ark. It's the same picture. God will take us home at the beginning of the tribulation period. We, as God's children, God loves us. God will not let us go through that period of the tribulation. And so, rest assured. God's people, yes, we're saved, we're born again, we are children of God, but we are not God's people. That's Israel. And the church, it's nonsense. I don't want to spend a bunch of time on that. So let's just move along here. And so we see the arrival of the Antichrist, the advent of the Antichrist. So let's look at the attributes in the second half of verse 23. He will be a man of popularity. Revelation 6:2 says that this is a man that will be given a crown, that is, the people of the world will embrace him as a godsend. No doubt this man will arrive on the scene with a workable formula for world peace. He will have a viable explanation for the disappearance of all the Christians. He will embody all the world has ever looked for in a leader. According to the Bible, the Antichrist. Let me stop there with just a note. This is kind of why I said it was going to go a little longer, because I've got a lot of little comments to go along here. The rise in this whole notion of life under the planets and how aliens are coming and all the things that have happened during the time eternity here on Earth, that we're going to be taken away by aliens, and the explanation is going to be, well, they were snatched up by aliens, and that's what happened to all these people. That there is going to be some reason given by the Antichrist why we as Christians are gone. And it's going to sound so logical that people are going to believe it, and they're going to believe so many lies here. But anyway, we will be taken away, and there will be a viable explanation. Of course, people believe everything. Right now, we're in the middle of our COVID situation here, and people are believing anything today. It's just amazing to me. I don't want to get into politics here, but people are believing anything around the world. They're going to believe that there's some logical reason why Christians were taken away. But he will be, again, looking at the popularity of the Antichrist, he will be an intellectual genius. We see that in Daniel 8:23. He will have extraordinary power in Daniel 8:24. He will destroy the Jews, or he'll try, in Daniel 8:24. He'll be shrewd. He will let nations rest in a false security. Oh, peace. There'll be peace in the world today. False security. Then he will destroy them in Daniel 8:25. He will magnify himself above every god, make that a small g, in Daniel 11:36. He will be able to control the nations, and he will. Revelation 13, verse 7, Revelation 17, verse 11 through 13. I hope you have your Bibles and you're taking notes. You can take these verses and look them up. I didn't want to, for the sake of time here, read all these. You can do that yourself. He will be able to control human life. We see that in Revelation 13, verses 16 and 17. He will be worshipped as a god, again, small g, in Revelation 13, verse 8. He will prosper. He'll prosper in Daniel 11:36. The world stage right now is set for the appearance of this man called Antichrist. He will be very, very popular. You know, I don't know where he's going to come from. He will be a man of peace. In Revelation 6:2 tells us that when he appears, he will be like one riding a white horse. This gives him the appearance of good. The good guys always ride a white horse. It also states that he will have a bow, but he'll have no arrows. This indicates that he will not come making war, but he'll come making peace. And this is proven by what Daniel saw in chapter 9, verse 27. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and that's a week of years, 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. It seems this man will make a 7-year peace treaty with the nation of Israel. Peace in Israel, peace in the Middle East. He makes a 7-year peace treaty with the nation of Israel. Again, it can be clearly seen that our world is looking for such a leader. The world is tired of war. Economies, more than ever now, are in need of help, and people want to prosper. They want to dwell in peace. They want to live in safety. The world will readily embrace a man with a message of peace. Look around you today. There is so much turmoil today. We're going to see infighting here in the United States. I hope the Lord takes us home first. But with all this coming up, I fear a civil war, quite honestly. And I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. And certainly God has not let me know that. I see some very bad things coming along, both here in the U.S. and my adopted country of Canada. Anyway, back to our lesson. The world will never know peace apart from Jesus Christ. Never. There'll be no peace in the Middle East other than through Jesus Christ. While this world is in turmoil, the children of God know peace in their hearts. And I praise God for that. John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. When Jesus returns to this earth, he will usher in a genuine peace that will last. If you are looking for peace, you will find it only in Jesus, the peace that passeth all understanding. I thank the Lord that I'm not afraid to die. I've got peace in my life. I'm ready to step from here into eternity. But as Paul says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And so I'm going to live here and work for the Lord until he takes me home. And then he will be a man of great prosperity. Daniel 11:43 says, but he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver and over all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. In Revelation 13, verses 16 and 17, we see, or we learn, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man may buy or sell, save he that has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of the same. Let me just stop here and say, the vaccinations are not the mark of the beast. I hear that people say, oh, well, you know, the vaccinations, they're the mark of the beast. No, they're not. It says a mark in the right hand or a mark in the forehead. A jab in the arm is neither of those. The vaccinations are not the mark of the beast. I believe that what's going on in the world is preparing the world to take that mark. They're so compliant right now. People are just getting the lining up to get these shots. And they wear masks and socially distance. Everyone just falls into line. I believe that we are being prepared for people just to stand and just do whatever the government says. The Antichrist will eventually control the wealth of the world. He will bring prosperity to those who have lived in poverty. I'm convinced that the Antichrist will bring an end to world hunger, that he will do away with much of the class distinction, the very rich and the very poor, that exists in our world today. That most people under his reign will be better off financially than they were before he rose to power. Keep in mind that the majority of this world lives in abject poverty. You don't know poverty. Let me tell you something. You don't know poverty. I lived in Thailand during the Vietnam War, and many of that country live in abject poverty. All they had when I was visiting up country was a water buffalo and quarter acre of rice. And that's all they had, a thatched roof on their house with no walls, on stilts to make sure they don't get caught in the floods. And so most of the world lives in abject poverty. I believe that the Antichrist is going to give them things that lift them out of that, and he'll be reigned as a hero of the people. This is one area of this rule that will bring him lasting success. People like to prosper. Let's look at America today. America will vote for anyone who they think can offer them financial prosperity. A world leader who can promise and produce prosperity will be a very popular man. I back this up with what's going on today. Joe Biden, our president right now, is throwing money around, giving people all kinds of money. Money for children, money for food, money. And they're doing that for one reason. Again, not political, I'm just telling you that he's doing that to gain votes. And I have to believe that it'd be very difficult for the other party to win because they used to want financial responsibility anymore, I don't know. But people want prosperity. And the government right now in the U.S. is giving them, I don't know if it's prosperity, but they're giving them money. Right now, people are being paid not to work. But again, I digress. Antichrist will be a man of power. Revelation 13, 6 and 7, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. These verses tell us that Antichrist will eventually rule the entire world. Conquerors down through the ages have sought this lofty goal without success. The Antichrist, he will achieve it. What men won't care about is the fact that he receives his power from Satan, the devil himself. Daniel 8:24, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people, but it will not be his power. He will become so large in the eyes of humanity that they will literally worship him as their small g God. All of this will be true of him in the beginning of his reign. However, in the middle of the tribulation, this man of peace and prosperity will show his true colors. And this brings us to our next event here, the abominations of the Antichrist. The Antichrist will attack the people of God. Daniel 7:25 says, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hands until the time and times and the dividing of time. The Antichrist will break his covenant with Israel and will attack the people of the Lord. He will try to do what Hitler and Stalin and others failed to do, to exterminate the Jew. More than anything, this man will hate everything having to do with God and Jesus Christ. He will lash out at the Jews and try to completely destroy them. We are seeing this spirit at work in our world today. It is becoming increasingly unpopular to be a Bible believer. In fact, we are often labeled as being intolerant. We are told that we must tolerate homosexuality, and we must tolerate the LGBTQRSTUV group. We must tolerate that. We must tolerate all these liberal ideologies. We are told that we must protect the spotted owl, while at the same time we must tolerate the murder of millions and millions of innocent unborn children. Save the baby whales, save the baby seals, but kill millions of unborn children. We are told that we are bigots when we speak out against the evils of society. We are told that we have no voice in the government. We are told to soften our stance. You just keep an eye on things over the next few years. If the Lord doesn't return soon, it may be illegal to be a fundamental, King James only, Bible-believing, soul-winning church. I believe that's coming soon, my friends. The church is under attack, and this will continue until the rapture. I mean, just look at pastors being thrown in jail for preaching the gospel. It's happening as I speak, my friends. It's happening. Church doors are closing. People are sitting at home in their bunny slippers and their pajamas watching some knucklehead on TV or just getting complacent with a cup of coffee or the hot chocolate and the marshmallows in their recliner. Instead of going and fellowshipping with God's people, this is going on. And so the focus of Satan's anger, the focus, though, will be the nation of Israel. The Antichrist will attack the Prince of God. In Daniel 8:25, it says, and through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hands. He shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. Here we are told this man of sin will stand up against the prince of princes. This is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. It appears that anything having to do with godliness, holiness, or Christ will be the focus of the attacks of this madman. He will make every effort to stamp out the name of Jesus from the face of the earth. And while he is doing this, the Lord's going to raise up an army of young Jewish men, 144,000 in all. No, they will not be Jehovah's Witnesses. These are 144,000 Jewish men, all who will go throughout the world preaching the gospel of the kingdom. The Antichrist will be powerless to stop them. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that even in the midst of all of this, God is still on the throne? God is still in control. This attitude is already being manifested in our day. When was the last time you heard somebody use the name of Allah as a curse word? The Muslims would revolt. When did you hear someone in a fit of anger use the name of Buddha as a swear word? When was the last time you heard the name of Krishna used as a curse word? You haven't and you won't. The name that is attacked with alarming frequency is the name of Jesus. I hear that blessed name used as a byword by a Christ-rejecting world. It just makes me sick to my stomach. I ask them, please, please, don't use my Lord Jesus Christ as a cuss word. And you need to stand up for your Lord and Savior. You might as well face it. The devil hates the name of Jesus. He will hate it. He will attempt to discredit it and destroy it until he is cast away into hell's flames. Why is it that Jesus and his doctrines are the most hated things in the world? If men admit the fact that he is Lord, that he died and rose again, that he in fact is our Savior, then man must admit that he is a sinner and doomed to hell. If the Bible is right about Jesus, then it stands to reason that it is right about everything else as well. The world hates his name because it points out their sins, and they don't like that. They don't like that. The Antichrist will attack the place of God. He'll attack the place of God. All these verses, Daniel 8:25, Daniel 11:36 and 37, Daniel 9:27, 2 Thessalonians 2:4, Matthew 24:15. I know I'm going fast on those. Go back and listen again. Get those down, read them, study them. All these verses tell us that the Antichrist will break his seven-year covenant with the Jews, that he will attempt to wipe Israel from the map. He's doing that right now. And that he will enter the newly constructed temple of Jerusalem, walk into the Holy of Holies, and set up his throne. He will declare himself to be God, and he will demand worship from all the people, but especially the Jews. He will desecrate their temple, the Jews' place of worship. I'll tell you what, these passages that we read, these were directly fulfilled by a man named Antiochus Epiphanes. This man was a Syrian. He came to the throne in 175 BC and ruled until 164 BC. He was anti-Semitic to the core. He assaulted Jerusalem, murdering over 40,000 in 3 days and selling an equal number into cruel slavery. It is thought that on September 6, 171 BC, he began his evil actions toward the temple. On December 15th, 168 BC, his temple desecration reached its ultimate low. For on that day, this idolater sacrificed a giant sow, a giant pig, on an altar he had made in the Jewish temple. He then forced the priests to swallow its flesh, made a broth of it, and sprinkled the entire temple. He finally carried off the golden candlesticks, the table of showbread, the altar of incense, and various other vessels, and destroyed the sacred books of the law. A large image of Jupiter was placed on the Holy of Holies. All this was termed by the horrified Jews as the abomination of desolation, and is referred to by Jesus in Matthew 24:15 as a springboard to describe the activities of the future Antichrist. All through Palestine, altars to Jupiter were set up and the Jews were forced to sacrifice on them. But a little Jewish town called Modin, 17 miles northwest of Jerusalem, there lived a Jewish priest named Mattathias in the house of Hasmon. He had five sons, and this brave old man not only refused to worship Antioch's idols, but boldly slew the king's religious ambassador. The Jewish revolt was on. One of his sons was named Judas, and he was called the Maccabee, which means the hammer. For the next few years, Judas successfully led an army of Jews against the Syrians. Their brave exploits are described in two apocryphal books, 1st and 2nd Maccabees. On December 25th, 165 BC, the Jewish patriots cleansed and rededicated the temple Antiochus had defiled. This later became a Jewish holiday known as the Feast of Dedication. And you can read about that in John 10:22. I want you to note now in Daniel 8:14, "And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed." There is a time period of 2,300 days mentioned. This apparently began on September 6, 171 BC and ended on December 25, 165 BC. It was, however, on the basis of this period that William Miller, founder of the modern Seventh-day Adventist movement, went astray. He made those days stand for years and arrived at the date of October 22, 1844, as the return of Christ. Tell you what, folks, the Bible says that no one knows, not even the Son, no one knows other than God what that date of return is. But that date right now is etched on a calendar, and it's coming, my friends, it's coming. Antiochus died in Babylon in 164 BC after being defeated in battle. What Antiochus did is part will be done in full by the Antichrist. He will declare to the world that he is God and that he must be worshipped. The sad thing is that the Bible tells us very clearly that the world will be led to worship this devil from hell. You can read about that in Revelation 13, verse 8. The world will not bow to the Lord Jesus who loves them and gave himself for them, but they will worship this satanically charged madman and will give him the praise that should be reserved exclusively for God. And I think about these things. What are people worshiping today? What are they worshiping today? It's just amazing to me that people will not turn to the one who loves them and gave himself for them. But they worship, oh man. So what are you worshiping today, my friends? What are you worshiping today? Are you giving yourself to worship yourself? Are you worshiping yourself? Are you worshiping your things? iPads and iPhones and movies and everything but Christ? Are you worshiping your things? Are you worshiping your own life? Are you reserving your worship for the Antichrist? The fact is, your worship will be directed somewhere. You are worshiping something, someone, somewhere. We worship people. We worship our homes. Anything that is in the place of God is what you're worshiping. But if I were you, if that's the fact, if that's what you're doing, if you're worshiping everything but Jesus, I would advise you to receive Jesus as your personal Savior and worship the only true God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we see the annihilation of the Antichrist. It's going to be sudden. Daniel 8:25 says that the Antichrist will be broken without hand. That means that the Antichrist will be defeated, but not by man. His kingdom will be overthrown, but it will be a supernatural defeat. This is made even clearer by Revelation 19, verse 20. Read that verse. "When God judges this man, he will do it swiftly and harshly." Defeat is certain. There's not a lot of things that are certain these days, but defeat is certain for this man known as the Antichrist. It'll be sudden, and it'll be serious. Notice that Revelation 19:20 says that Antichrist will enter the lake of fire alive. Then 1,000 years later, Satan himself is judged and condemned to the lake of fire. When he is thrown in, the Bible tells us that the beast is still there. Antichrist is still there. They're going to have a little reunion there. In spite of the man's abilities, in spite of his power, in spite of his greatness, in spite of the fact that he received the worship of men, he is still defeated. All the while he was ruling the world in great power, he was nothing but a puppet in the hand of God. He was a pawn fulfilling a divine purpose. The Antichrist, like so many others, found himself on the wrong side of the battle. So which side are you on today? Are you in line with the Word of God? Have you trusted Jesus as your personal Savior? If so, you will never see the Antichrist in this world. If so, you will be in heaven in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ while the world writhes, if you will, under the tribulation. If not, then you need to be saved. You are on the wrong side. If the Lord doesn't come in your lifetime, you will die and go to hell if you don't get right with God. If he does come and find you lost, you will enter into the tribulation and you will probably give your worship to the Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 12 says that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And you may say, well, what's the truth? Jesus is the truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Lord, but by me. No man cometh to the Father. Got to get these verses right. No man cometh to the Father, but by me. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is coming, and the world is poised to enter a time of trouble like nothing it has ever experienced before. What happens to you all depends on what you do with Jesus Christ. I want to invite you to come to him today and be saved. If you are saved, I would ask you to look at your life to see if you are pointing men to Jesus or away from him by the life you're living. I'll tell you, I don't fear the Antichrist. Because you know what? I'm going to be gone before he makes his appearance. What about you? Where will you be when Satan's Superman takes the world by storm? When Daniel looked into these things, he fainted and became ill. How do you feel about these things? How do you feel about this I just got through teaching here? What effects do these words have on your heart today? If the Lord is calling you right now, if you feel the tug by the Holy Spirit on your heart, you know you need to be saved. You know you need to come to him. He's calling you. He's calling you. Won't you come to him now? And dear Christians, is your life where God wants it to be? Are you pleasing him? Don't hinder others from coming to Christ, but reach out and reach people before it's too late. The Antichrist is coming, and so is the rapture. Will you be there? Will you be there when the Antichrist comes, or will you be in heaven with Jesus? Make that decision today. Receive Christ as your Savior. Well, this isn't over. This isn't over. We're just racing to the end. It's intense. This is going to get more intense. I know that this lesson was a little long, but I wanted to get through it. And I pray again. I get so burdened knowing that there's going to be so many people left behind. Until the next time, though, keep looking up and listening for the shout, friends, it's coming, and it won't be long. Get saved now. God bless.
I'm a bit exhausted. How about you? But what an intense study. Thank you, Pastor Don. In our next study, we will take a look at the mission, the methods, and the miracles of this person called the Antichrist in a lesson entitled, The Beast from Out of the Sea. We are racing towards the end of this book, and it only gets more exciting and intense. So, keep looking up and listening for the shout.